This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and our mission here at Hot Breath is to cultivate the next generation of great comics. And a big way we do that is in our Hot Breath Pro Comedian Incubator Group, where every month we do a $100 joke contest where participants get 7 days to write a brand new 90-second set based on a secret theme. October's theme was candy, and the winner was Hot Breath Pro member Sandy Bernstein. So you're about to hear her set and her winning interview. But if you would like to participate in future contests, get held accountable to write new material every single month, and win $100 and an interview on Hot Breath, then just go into the description of this episode and click Join Hot Breath Pro to connect with me and hundreds of other comics around the world getting better together. But now it is time, my friends. Welcome to the show. Sandy's set again, and then bring her on the show.
I love candy. It's taught me a lot about life. Looks can be deceiving. Ever pop a handful of M&Ms into your mouth only to discover they're Skittles? If I wanted to taste the rainbow, I'd kiss a leprechaun, which is impossible. And for that, I thank my lucky charms. You can't judge a candy bar by its wrapper. The Hershey bars my Aunt Ida gave us were nasty. They were old, white, and tasteless. Just like me. Oh, and speaking of rappers, my dad wanted to know if I listened to that Slim and Shady guy on TikTok. I was like, did you mean Eminem on TikTok, Dad? I wish you could hear him say it, but Ouija boards don't come with speakerphones. Never trust someone who squeezes the chocolates to pick out the ones they want. That's no different than me sniffing my dirty laundry to see which panties I'm going to wear today. Yeah. Snow caps are my favorite candy. And they're functional too. They leave a trail of tiny white beads so I can find my way home. Yeah, no silver alerts for this old gal. And you know, they're fun too. They stick to my clothes so I can just jump into a large clear trash bag and go as a snow globe for Halloween. And candy brings people together. I think I'll visit my new LGBTQ neighbors with a couple packs of Skittles. Maybe I will try tasting the rainbow.
Whoa! Sandy Bernstein, everyone. Sandy!
Yes, I am here.
You're back.
And I even figured out how to mute the Facebook tab.
You're back. Well, you've learned. You're a returning champ. So, you know, you've learned the tricks of the trade here.
Yeah, I know. Third time. I said people are sick of seeing me.
What's the secret here? How are you doing this?
The secret is Davida Kramer.
Oh!
I mean, every time I've won, she's helped me with my set. And the times I haven't made the finals, you know, we haven't been able to connect. So I got to give her a huge shout out, especially for this set, because literally at the 11th hour, you know, Saturday at 5 p.m., the day before the submission, it was garbage. And we got on the phone and worked together for about an hour, and she fixed it.
Oh,
so I told her, I said, she should be the one giving the interview, not me.
Oh my gosh. What do you mean by fixed it? Like, what was the set, and then what did y'all adjust?
Oh gosh, let me see. Okay, the first joke I started out with was, you know, I love candy, not the stripper. I also had, if I wanted to taste the rainbow, I'd lick Caitlyn Jenner. And then we were like, no, Dave Chappelle already got in trouble. I'm not going there. And she confirmed that instinct. Let me see, the squeezing the box of chocolates, the analogy I had was really disgusting.
It was like, you're so good at those though.
I know, but it was even more disgusting than the panties. Yeah, it had to do with using my spouse's washcloth in an inappropriate way. Let me see. The Skittles callback was just didn't even work. I can't even remember what I had. You know, I had the instinct to use that, but she was the one that said, well, tie it back to the, you know,
to the beginning. So I think that that really brought it home. And yeah, there were also some jokes in there that I took out. Well, it was too long to begin with, and so she sort of agreed with me. Well, don't, you know, I had a joke about white chocolate being like gentrification, and you know, whites ruin everything, which works in some crowds. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's not a bad joke, but it wasn't as strong as the others. And so yeah, so that was just luck that we were able to connect, and we were able to just kind of like hone in on what was not working with it, which was pretty much everything.
What's your favorite joke?
My favorite joke is the only one. Well, I don't want to say the only one, but is the one that I didn't change, which was the Ouija board.
Yeah. And the speaker.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, I performed that live yesterday, and crickets. They thought it was way too hard. And they also groaned at the rainbow at the closer, and I basically lost the crowd from that point. So what? That just goes. Yes, that just goes to show you. I mean, it was a 12:30 show. It was an afternoon show, and I skipped the panties. I didn't do that, and you know, I didn't do the white chocolate thing, but I didn't do that on the submission either. But yeah, they thought the Ouija board was dark, and did not like the closer one bit.
I like the Ouija board joke.
I know most people do. This was like the only set that I really didn't get to perform live before I taped it. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't feeling real confident about it, you know, and I really personally, I thought the other two sets were stronger than mine, but hey, you know, so much for imposter syndrome. I'm not going to. I have to respect the voice of the hot breath averse.
And people have spoken.
Yes.
They've spoken, and they have chosen Sandy to win again.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for that. I'm touched. I appreciate it.
Because
I thought this time I really like felt like the competition was very, I mean, every time it's been tight, but this time I'm surprised it wasn't a three-way tie.
Yeah. It basically was. I mean, it was like 9-9-8, you know, like it was basically all right there.
Right. And I really thought the other two sets had a lot more punchline. So I was really surprised that I won.
I don't know.
I'm grateful. I'm not going to return the $100. I don't know. I might split it with DeVita. I probably owe her this time.
Oh, well, that's cool to see, you know, the collaboration, though. I mean, that's, you know, part of what the Hot Breathverse is all about is comics helping comics. So that's cool to know that's happening, too.
Yeah, it's true. You know, we're stronger together. What is it? Better together.
Yeah, yeah. And Tom said he liked the Ouija board joke, and so did Joan. And Aaron likes the dark humor. Dark chocolate humor, maybe.
That's great. Well, actually, you know, my husband went out walking and didn't even watch this with me, but he came in and saw my set when you just replayed it. And the only thing he chuckled at was old, white, and tasteless. What does that tell you?
Where did the set start, like with the theme of candy? Like, what was your like step one after getting the theme?
You know, I sort of wrote some jokes and tried to pull them together, and I think the first ones that I wrote never even made it in. The whole M&M joke, that was basically, oh, my dad confused, you know, always count on your parents for popular culture. My dad used to call M&M that, you know, peanut chew. And DeVita was like, nobody's going to follow that. That's a puzzle. Yeah, okay. But, you know, so the first jokes that I wrote for this didn't even make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess it's the whole thing about you have to be willing to, like, kill your children or let go of certain things. So really this set, I really struggled with it. It didn't really come together until about an hour before I filmed it. You know, and I had like 2.5 minutes worth of stuff, and none of it I felt like was really that great. I ran some of it on Zoom shows and, you know, to mix results. So, you know, normally my process is I will do the majority of the writing, or I'll write a first draft like the day after the word's posted on Saturday and work on it Sunday. But I was like tied up all weekend, so I only got to work on it a couple hours on Sunday. And, you know, and then I worked on it throughout the week, but I wasn't really comfortable with the timing because in the past I'd had a lot more done a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were able to work it out on stage and such, but this time it was a little more crammed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, that's the game though, is like you weren't feeling that great about it, even up to like the last minute, but you still finished it. You still submitted it. Like, despite every excuse you could have created to not submit it, you did it anyway, you know? And I think a lot of people in general struggle with that, but then it's like with this contest specifically, I think a lot of people maybe don't submit because they're not proud of the set, or there's fear behind it, or it's like, I'm not ready yet, like type deal. But it's, you've got to do it. Like, almost finishing it is the victory, you know?
Yeah, and last month, that's how I felt about last month's set. You know, I didn't really get a chance to work with anybody on it, and I wasn't happy with it. But I was like, well, I've spent all this time, so, you know, I need to submit it. And, you know, if I hadn't, you know, been able to connect with Davida, you know, I really would have had a lot of hesitation about submitting it, but I would have anyway, just like you said, to complete the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe to go back and I mean, you know, other sets that haven't made the finals, I've been able to pull like one or two jokes out of it that have, you know, worked in other sets that have been very successful. So it's, you know, it's not an all or nothing thing. You sort of have to look at it. And sometimes you can just pick out a few gems that work, and it becomes like a regular part of your bits.
And that's the whole, I mean, that's what, when we, I did the interview with Kostaki Economopoulos 2 weeks ago, I guess I posted it, but he was like, you know, it's like comedy writing's like painting for gold. He's like, you write all day to find one fleck of gold. And it really is. You write a lot to find a little bit, but then it adds up over time. But that really is the process of writing a lot and then keeping a little bit of it and then building on that, you know? So that's the work of comedy that people don't want to hear. They don't want to admit they're not doing, but that's the work of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you have to sort of put your ego aside and know that a lot of it is just going to be trash and just to go with it anyway.
Yep.
And, you know, I even find that with these sets, they don't always translate to the stage. So you have to kind of pick and choose and, you know, just see what works in a live setting. And then things that work on stage don't necessarily work on Zoom. And more often things that work on Zoom just don't work on stage. It's very strange.
That's the game. Write, perform, and refine, you know, and that's why it's hard. Comedy's hard. But luckily we do it together.
Yeah, that's true. So now the technique I'm really trying to work on is when a bit isn't working, to try to just switch onto something else and you know, make the transition, you know, sort of able to follow, but not make it seem like really forced. That's a more advanced skill, because what I do is I stay on the same thing and that train is derailing and it's going over the cliff. And so I was riding the train over the cliff a couple times yesterday in my set.
Hilarious. Well, is there anything you would like to promote or anything, Sandy, that you're on this Hot Breath podcast again? Oh my God.
Yes, I know. Well, I do these segments on, there's this network called ASY TV, and there's a show called Love on Lockdown, Living Room Comedy Show. Mm-hmm. And we finished our first season in the summer. I do these like little, like 1 or 2 minutes bits called Sandy Says, where, you know, there's something online or a sign or whatever that has bad grammar or spelling because I'm an editor in my day job. So basically I go and I tear it up and I make fun of it. And yeah, I riff on it. But I actually write it out and stuff. I don't come up with stuff off the top of my head. So I did a bunch of segments for that last season. And then the producer, Tony, actually put them all together and produced this great 30-minute video of all of the Sandy Says sets.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So, and he put together like a great promotional trailer for it. So if you go to my Facebook fan page, which is Sandy Bernstein Comedy, I've got it pinned to the top of the page. So, you know, the promo alone, it's like 2 or 3 minutes is worth watching. And then if people actually want to buy it for $2.99, the actual 30-minute thing, they can, you know, hit me up or, you know, or hit up the producer of the show. He's under the dearly beloved Tony. And yeah, so that's the one big thing I have to promote in terms of, you know, something that anybody from anywhere can sort of, you know, I could promote live shows, but not that many people are in Maryland, you know.
But you're producing your own shows now as well.
Yeah, well, I'm co-producing. I can't take full credit.
But, hey, you're still doing it. You're out there taking action.
Yeah, well, I just was really lucky. It was serendipity. I had just gotten off the stage. I'd done this show at the State Theater in Havre de Grace for this outfit that I've been trying to get with for 4 years, and I was so excited about it. But there were only 12 people in a 300 seat theater, and so you can imagine how that went, because I'm not very good with crowd work. I'm still working on being able to have a conversation with people instead of a monologue. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was the opener, and the other two comedians who followed me were like a lot more experienced and had much better sets. So I went off that stage, you know, just feeling terrible about myself, like, oh, I've been doing this 7 years, I should know how to handle this, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at my phone, and I'd gotten a text from this gentleman, Rich Madzel, and he is with Try It Out Comedy. And he started out doing table readings. And then one day, and there's a great article about him in AARP magazine, and I'll try to post that on my Sandy Bernstein Comedy page so people can check it out. So he just had this idea, he and his wife were, and he's like, by the way, like 81 years old, and wow, you wouldn't even know, sharp as anything. And he had this idea to, like, you know, sort of start comedy shows. And somebody that he was working with recommended me. So I did the very first show that he did. And since then, before the pandemic, he produced like, you know, like a dozen or 15 or 20 shows. And every one of them sold out within a matter of hours. And I was fortunate enough to be able to host some of those shows or to be on some of them, not all of them, but I was always after. I'm like, oh, let me host. So anyway, I'd gotten a text from him that just happened to be the moment I walked off that stage dejected. Oh. And I had told him that I was looking to find a venue to produce some shows. And I know that he was going to start up back again, and I didn't want to compete with him. So he sent me a text and said, I think I have a venue for you. And when I talked to him the next day, it turned out that he had a venue and he wanted me to co-produce, and he wanted me to be the one to wrangle the comedians. So I agreed to it. He has a whole system in place with spreadsheets, and, you know, he's handling all the financial stuff and the tickets on Eventbrite, and all I have to do is wrangle the comics, which, yeah, it's, wow, it's a, you know, which is great. And so I'm learning so much from him. And, you know, because of the pandemic, we're not like, he used to have a venue with like, you know, 60, 70, 80 seats. It was more like close to 70 or 80 seats. And now we're in a different venue, which it's a great venue, and the owners are super supportive. But normally we could cram 60 people in there, but we're only doing 40 because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And we've done two shows so far, and both of them have sold like, you know, 30 to 36 tickets. So almost sold out.
Yeah.
But we haven't, you know, it hasn't been a matter of selling out in a matter of hours. So now we're, you know, producing flyers, and he's getting a website built, and we're getting business cards made. So, you know, he's not used to having to promote the show. And the other part of this is that he has a mailing list of his regulars. So it's the same people, like you said, word of mouth. Yeah. It's the same people every month. And now they're inviting their friends because, you know, they're so happy with the show. So that's a good thing. So, I mean, if I was doing this on my own, I would be starting from zero. But here, you know, I already had the built-in system, a built-in audience. You know, I couldn't have asked for more. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm just excited to produce these shows. And it's neat. We have for our November 1st show, we have Missy Hall, who is hilarious. And she's right now, she's based in Wilmington. And she's done TV and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and she's great. And then I'm really excited also, the headliner for December is Lucas Bone. And he's been on NBC's Bring the Funny and Last Comic Standing, and he's got dry bar specials like a certain other person I know. I was going to ask you how that went and when that's coming out, Joel.
Well, oh, it'll be like a year. They emailed me after and they're like, it'll be like 9 months to a year. So I had friends tell me that though. So I wasn't expecting to be out tomorrow. I had friends who have done them who were like, yeah, enjoy it, but just understand it won't be out for a long time. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And well, by then you'll probably have all new material, so you won't have to worry about burning sure. material.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited it is delayed that much, because that's just more that we can do behind the scenes. So when that comes out, we can be even more prepared for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I love that though, Sandy. It is like, I have noticed a lot of times in like the lowest points in my comedy, there's been some sort of balance. Like comedy always has a way to balance it out. It just hurts sometimes. But usually when there's a struggle happening, that means you're in the middle of a breakthrough. So the fact mm-hmm. you had that set and we're like, what am I doing? I've been doing this 7 years. I should be better, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you get this text and now all of a sudden you're like helping produce these shows, you know? So it is a lot of the times it's just that consistency, just not quitting. Just continuing to do it, even if you don't feel like it, or even if you don't know why you're doing it anymore, it's like just continuing to do it anyway. And that's when you have your biggest breakthroughs. That's when I've had my biggest breakthroughs as well. So I'm just so excited for you, because that is a tough thing when you have those kind of shows and you're kind of like in your head, like, what have I done to my life that I'm doing this to myself? But it all works out in the end.
Yeah, well, just within the past 24 hours, you know, I had this set that I considered like terrible. It was like yeah. the weakest set. It was part of a festival. And, you know, the executive producer, somebody like I've been trying to get him to book me on shows forever. And, you know, and the gentleman who's like handling the booking was there. So I thought, oh, I've just ruined everything. But I mean, it wasn't so terrible, because afterwards, you know, people were complimenting me. They weren't coming up to me, but when I happened to like be in their face, but mm-hmm. you know, a really bad set is when people won't even make eye contact with you. So it wasn't at that level.
Uh-huh.
Thank goodness.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah. But I still felt, you know, really crummy. And so now today I was like in a mindset like, oh yeah, this is how my weekend's going. I'm probably going to get like 2 votes on this contest, but you know, hey, it's an honor to be in the finals. So, and then, yeah, here I won. But I just have to say once again, how strong, you know, Tom and Michelle's sets were. And I really like, I'm not worthy.
It was so nice. Yeah. That was nice. I love all the support everyone was showing each other, but it was tight. But you know, the votes, the hot breath versus spoken, Sandy, and you are worthy. So congratulations again.
Yes. Well, I thank the hot breath averse from the bottom of my heart, you know, or as Bobby would say, from the colon,
the
of,
colon
my heart.
Of my heart. Yeah. So is your Facebook, if someone's listening to this and they want to reach out to you, is your Facebook page the best way to contact you?
Instagram also. Cool. And it's, yes, Sandy Bernstein Comedy on Instagram. I have like a regular Sandy Bernstein page on Facebook. And that's where like I get notifications. A lot of times if people try to reach out to me through my fan page, I don't see the notifications right away. But you know, Instagram is a good way to reach me also. And you know, because humble brag, I'm near my 5,000 cutoff in my, you know, Facebook page, my personal page. So Flex. It's best to follow me on Instagram. Yeah, because I might not be able to friend you back.
Ooh.
You can follow my Facebook fan page too. That's fine. I try to post every comedy related thing that I post on my regular page on the Facebook fan page.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I will link that in the description of the episode. And so if people listen to this and they have questions for you or just want to reach out and congratulate you, you know, I encourage the Hot Breathverse to do that. I love seeing us all just coming together.
Yeah. And I also have a website, which is sandybernsteincomedy.com.
Snap.
Yeah.
Sandy out here doing it. Very nice. Well,
yeah.
Sandy.
And I think the website for the show that I'm co-producing is going to be tryitoutcomedy.com, but it's not up yet, but it should be within the next week.
Very nice. Yeah. I was looking up Try It Out Comedy as we were talking here. It seems like, yeah, there's a lot of cool things going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I should be getting the flyer for the November show. I should be getting a proof of that today. So I'll be sure to post it on my pages so you can see it.
All these fancy words. Look at you. You're pro. Well,
thank you. Congratulations.
I'm so glad and grateful that you still submitted, even though if you weren't feeling that great about it, because look what happened. You know, just you showed up, and the hardest part is showing up, and look, you won. So congratulations, Sandy.
Yeah. And like I said, I felt a whole lot better about it, you know, once DeVita got involved. So
of course, again,
shout out to her.
Shout out to DeVita.
Yes. I mean, I want to have the tables turned where she's on here and, you know, rather than me, because she's done some great stuff. So,
she submitted to some of the contests. She's done some of the contests, you know?
Yeah. So I'm challenging her.
Yeah. Get her back in here, because some people will post every now and then, but it's that consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, you do it like every month you submit, you know, like you're very intentional about submitting consistently. And I think that's part of why you've been able to win so much, because you're putting in that consistent work at it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I felt terrible August that I didn't submit, but hey, I was on vacation.
Yeah, so, you know, the Cabana Boys, you know, you got the
occupied. No, I mean, you know, if that hurricane would have happened like at the beginning of my vacation, I would have gotten something done, but it didn't happen till like the last day I was there. So we had good beach weather.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Sandy. Tom said you smashed it. And thanks for jumping on here and doing this, and congratulations again, Sandy.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And once again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being so supportive. And once again, you know, Tom and Michelle, I thought your sets were great. And I'm still like in shock that one of you isn't in this little box talking right now. But
maybe next month, Tom and Michelle, submit again and we shall see.
Exactly.
Well, have a good Sunday out there, Sandy. And this episode will be out next week.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, Joel, and thank you for all that you do for us for free.
Oh, don't. No. We're all in this together. There's no need to.
No, but I mean, really, you know, since the pandemic, as a comedian and as a writer, I've grown so much, and it's because of you and the Hot Breathverse. It's gotten me into the daily writing habit, which I never had before in the previous 5.5 years. And it taught me so much about joke structure, which I never had, you know, as evidenced by like the first month or two that I was doing the Write 10 Club.
That's been my favorite part of all this we've been doing together, is seeing comics come in here like without any structure, or just a lot of people, you had comedy experience. Some people came in with no comedy experience, and just to see them develop over time into like really skilled joke writers has been like my favorite part of the whole thing.
Right. Oh yeah. Once again, shout out to Angela Moore for posting in East Coast Comedians and making me aware of this.
Yeah. You know? Oh, and Sandy is a Tight 5 Accelerator alum as well. So maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
Coincidence?
I don't know. But it's because you're putting in the work, you know, so it's working. Oh, and Joan said, great interview. It was cool to learn about you and your process, Sandy.
Oh, thank you, Joan. And, you know, and Joan is so, and she and Axel are just tearing up the Write 10 Club every
day. Man, I know. And speaking of writing together, Oz Morris was, he was featuring for his first time last night, and Axel like helped him out, like went over a set with him and helped him get prepared for it and all that. So it's, yeah, it's all of us just working together. I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, comedy is, it's normally such a lone wolf thing. And the Hot Breathiverse has taught me that it's okay to collaborate. In fact, it's encouraged.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. It's the whole goal. Oh, you made me cry.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Sandy. And have a good day out there. Congratulations. Tell your husband, you know, all the jokes were funny, not just the white joke, but.
Well, I'm sure he'll have an opinion, he might be waiting for me to do the second half of his walk, but
ooh, fun.
I'll hear about it, but well, or maybe enjoy. Not. So thank you very much, and once again, thank everybody.
Absolutely. Well, have a good day out there, Sandy.
Oh, thank you. I will. You too, Joel, and the rest of the Hot Breathiverse.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, everyone, Sandy Bernstein, the October $100 Joke Contest winner. If you want to participate in next month's contest, all you got to do is join Hot Breath Pro. It's linked in the description of this episode. And if you want to take a stab at the Type 5 Accelerator, where we help comics write a new 5-minute set in just 4 weeks like Sandy did, then that's also linked in the description of this episode. But until then, my friends, we'll be back next Monday with another episode right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.